Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I'm so glad y'all decided to hang on. Man, if it weren't for these great five-star guests I have, I would have been toast tonight because I was having a lot of difficulties hearing. Thankfully, Miss Bethany can hear everything great in her studios. Miss Bethany and Sam, et cetera. Bethany is Sam's, Bushman's, 16-year-old daughter. She's in her final year of high school. She's running the board tonight. She's doing a marvelous job. We're having all kinds of hellish difficulties, and I think I know why. You know, but anyway, it is, for the people that didn't tune in and the people that don't know the date, if you're like me, it is October the 24th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2020. You're listening to Blood River Radio, and my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're keeping Monica, Miss Monica Schaefer on. We couldn't hear the general. We had to let him go. We'll bring him back on again very soon. We're going to bring in my right-hand man, Gene Andrews, Gene Superstar Andrews. But before I bring him on, let me introduce Gene, and then I'm going to make a quick comment about something funny I heard in the news break. How are you doing tonight, Gene?
I'm doing very well, Mr. Eddie. How are you getting along? It sounds like you're having technical difficulties. I think the feds are messing with your broadcast there. Not that they would do anything like that, of course, but sounds like somebody's monkeying with the broadcast.
Well, they love us. The feds love us. The Jews especially love us. They love us almost as much as Black Lives Matter. But, you know, we have Miss Monica on tonight. Miss Monica is going to be you're going to be partnering with the famous, the well-known Miss Monica Schaefer. You may know, Gene, you probably remember. Miss Monica, she was of German descent. Her family was from Germany, but they moved to Canada. Probably to get away from the communists after the end of the Second World War. I don't remember the whole story, but she was put in jail. She went to her brother's wedding in Germany, and they came in and arrested her and put her in jail in Germany because she made this horrible video. And the name of the video was, "I'm sorry, Mommy, I was wrong about the Holocaust." I'll get her to tell you more about that in just a minute. But before we go to that, I heard something on the break that's really funny. They're getting a test, people. They're going to test you. They get this multi-billion-dollar test they're working on to see if you're sick and dying. You know, I said the other day, I was in the middle of a 22-mile run, and somebody told me I was dying. They think I'm dying. So I'm going to have to go, and I'm going to get tested for this. And get this, we're going to get tested for a disease to get this, people. Did you know that the coronavirus has never been isolated? It's never been identified. Unlike all other bacteria and other viruses that they've isolated, for instance, like the Spanish flu, they know all about that. They know about H1N1. They know about the Hong Kong flu. They've been isolated. The coronavirus has never, ever been isolated. It's never been seen by the human eye through an electron microscope. It's never been tested in any shape, form. In other words, it's an invisible, non-existent virus, but they're getting this. They're getting this test. I mean, this is Orwellian. They're getting this test, and they're going to start forcing people to take this test for a non-existent disease that can't be seen, touched, smell. It can't be. It's not there. It's beyond Orwell. You know, so anyway, Gene, since you just came on, you can talk about that, or would you like to let us know what's been going on at the Forest Home
the latest, you know, on that? We all know that the government knows what's best for us, you know. So they were the ones that told us the Gulf of Tonkin hoax, the Russian the Russian probe hoax, the impeachment hoax, all the other hoaxes that they've come up with. So if they're going to make us take this test for the invisible virus, you know that they know exactly what they're doing, and we just need to. The sheeple need to just get in a herd and go right through the kill pens and be right in there for the slaughter and not give them any trouble at all. So you just don't understand the good that the government's going to do for us. So
You're right. I'm just an unappreciative SOB.
That's right, Eddie. They want to take good care of us, and we should just believe everything they tell us because they love us. I mean, really.
Yes, they do.
It is hard to believe. I really find it hard to believe that anybody still believes them, believes their stories. But unfortunately, many do. And you know, they have often been referred to as the walking dead, those who, even in the face of all this obvious, like it's such an obvious hoax, that and people still think trust these medical health authorities and that the government has our best interests at heart when they're making everybody wear masks and doing all these lockdowns when nobody's really sick. And, you know, and people are, many people are going along with that. They have the fear driven into them. It's just fear porn. And I don't know, a lot of these people, are they, can they be saved? if they still don't see it, I just don't know what to say about that. And unfortunately, I have family members right in my own family. And of course, I'm excluding my dear brother Alfred from that. Alfred, who is in prison for speaking the truth and is still in prison. And, you know, was given more prison time for speaking truth in his defense in court, of all things. But other family members, they go right along with this government story and whatnot. And I just, I don't know what to say about it. But, oh, I just want to make a correction there. I didn't go over to his wedding. I just went over to Germany to visit Alfred over Christmas time, 2017 to 2018. And then I was at the trial in a courthouse in Munich in early 2018, the trial of Sylvia Stolz, another political prisoner now. And that's where they nabbed me and threw me in jail. It's not that relevant, but it wasn't a wedding I went to. It was just a visit over Christmas time. The video is 6 minutes long. Sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust, in which I apologize for reprimanding my mother when I was a teenager for having been part of that generation of, you know, bad Germans who participated. You know, I figured that she could have stopped it if she had organized with her family and friends. She could have stopped all those horrors that supposedly Hitler was up to. And then years later, I figured out and found out that, gee, those horrors didn't actually happen the way they told us. And it was opposite. It was really opposite. You know, the people who truly were Holocausted were the Germans in the cities that were firebombed, you know, endlessly. Millions of Germans died in that war, and who were, you know, civilians weren't at the front and whatnot. So, yeah, anyway, I didn't mean to interject there and jump in. I should pass it over because Gene just joined us, and so I shouldn't dominate here.
No. We have a much better guest with Ms. Shaver there. And I want our listeners to hear your stories and hear what happened to you. And Sylvia Stolz was always one of my heroes for defending Ernst Sundell. And
exactly.
This is the hypocrisy of all of this idiotic nonsense. Correct me if I'm wrong. She was appointed as his attorney. And then they threw her in the slammer for defending him, but yet she was appointed by the German court? Now, how insane is that? That sounds only like something that could happen in the USA. I thought we were the stupidest people on the planet, but it seems like we have competition for number one El Stupido. Throw in a little Spanish there.
I don't actually know if she was appointed by the German court. I didn't hear that, but you are correct 100% in that she was one of his attorneys. He did have several. There was a team of them. I'm not sure how many, but she was physically removed from the courtroom when she refused to stop doing her job as his attorney in speaking in his defense and bringing forth evidence. And the judge tried to stop her several times, and this would have been back in, I believe, 2006 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was back a number of years. And the judge said, no, you have to stop. You have to stop speaking because the things that you are speaking now are not allowed. You are not permitted. And she explained in her very strong but very quiet way. She's not, you know, she didn't rave and rant. She speaks forcefully but quietly and calmly. She explained exactly why it was her duty and obligation to defend her client, her, you know, to defend Ernst Zundel. That was what she was obligated to do, you know, not just in a sense of, okay, that's her job, but morally obligated to do so. And she was simply bringing forth evidence that would show that Ernst Zundel was not lying when he was making his statements. He had evidence to back up his statements. And this was when, after the judge tried to stop her, and she carried on with that. And then they said, well, you know, you have to be stopped. And he got the police to carry her out, literally. I mean, can you imagine that? She's, you know, this is a woman who is non-threatening, nothing like that. She was carried out. Now, I want to tie that in with Alfred, my brother, because he actually was given more jail time than what he was already given for his, you know, videos that he had produced. So, again, he got a 38-month jail sentence when our trial culminated in October of 2018. He was given 38 months just for videos that he had produced, which tell about what the Jewish, you know, what they are doing and psychological.
Miss Marvin, we're getting ready to go to a break. I hear the music. We're getting ready to go to a brick break. I want you to hold that. And when we come back, I want to ask you a question. Be right back. People, hold on. We'll be right back after this break.
War for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, thank you for holding on. I really appreciate our Blood River Radio family for hanging in there with us. I got to tell a quick story about a supporter I talked to today. James in Washington State God bless him. He was able to fly all the way from Washington down to, I don't know what part of Florida he went to, but he flew down there to meet up with a friend from New Jersey. They went fishing for a few days, and I told him to catch me. I wanted a great white shark with Nancy Pelosi's head in it so I could mount it to my wall. But you know what? I talked to him just today, and he did. He caught a shark. It wasn't a great white shark, and Nancy Pelosi's head wasn't in there, at least not yet. And it was a black tip shark, and he also caught a barracuda. But he's a great guy. I just thought our audience might, you know, like to hear some things like that. The kind of people that we have listening to us, we have nothing but the highest caliber. But Miss Monica, have you heard anything about Miss Ursula Heverbeck? Is she the 90-year-old that was thrown into prison when she was 90-year-old for questioning some of the numbers of the so-called Holocaust? Do you know anything about her?
It's because supposedly
she was out of jail.
Absolutely, I know about her case, and she is actually going to be released very soon, I believe November 5th, but you know, 12 days later, she is in court again in Berlin, apparently for additional charges, more charges. She is 91 at least. I think her birthday is soon, perhaps about to turn 92 very soon. And you see, they are ruthless, which tells me they are desperate. And I'm talking about the Jews who are doing this, hounding anybody who questions their holy story, their Holocaust story. And, you know, just this morning I read another account of B'nai B'rith. Canada is demanding that the Canadian government deport a man who served in the German army during the Second World War as an interpreter and boot polisher. He's now 96 years old. He lives in Canada, Helmut Oberlander. And they are demanding that he be extradited to Germany, a 96-year-old. You see, they are so desperate. He was a young man in the war and was in the army, like, I mean, just and like it says in the article here that an interpreter and boot polisher, but somehow he's responsible for 90,000 deaths. That's what they're saying. And now I just wanted to say something more about Sylvia Stolz, because that's where we left off. And I was comparing the story about her not being able to defend her client, Ernst Zundel. And she went to jail back then, by the way, for 3.25 years. And then now she is also in jail, and this has been an 18-month sentence, which is about to be finished later in November this year. But this one was for a speech she gave about the legal situation. And the speech was given in Switzerland in 2012 after she got out of jail for doing her job too well. Defending Ernst Zundel, she told the audience at an anti-censorship coalition conference all about this paragraph 130 in Germany and how you're not allowed to even bring evidence into the court, which supports your conclusions. And for that speech, she has been serving an 18-month sentence, which is almost finished now. So the bizarreness of it never ends. And what I was just saying when the music came on for the break was that Alfred was given additional jail time in a trial that took place a year ago in Germany. And that trial was all about the things that he said in court during our trial in 2018. And see, again, during that trial, the judge stopped Alfred numerous times and said, oh, I got to warn you there. Don't say any more along those lines where you're going with that argument or whatever, because these things are illegal to say. And Alfred just basically brushed that aside and said, well, you wanting to lock me up for 6 million years anyway, I'm just speaking the truth and I will carry on. So he wasn't, you know, intimidated by the judge's attempt to stop him speaking. And then, you know, the result of that was the trial that happened in 2019 and additional jail time for Alfred for speaking in court. So how does anybody how can you reconcile that with, you know, that, okay, this Holocaust that we've all been taught from the day we're born, and they keep on trying to make it more and more, you know, just rub it in. And reparations, by the way, they go up every year. Now there's 600 million additional euros reparations given for Holocaust COVID survivors. So they're putting these two narratives together now. This was just announced. So there you go. Okay, and your question was about Ursula Heverbeck, and yes, she has been in jail since 2018 May. So that's about, 2.5 years now. And 12 days after she gets out, she's in court again. Can you believe it?
And she's 91 years old. You know, I've got to ask a question, Miss Monica, then we'll go over to Jean. You know, the trials you're just talking about, what you've gone through, what Alfred's gone through, the great Miss Ursula, harken back to stories I read when our Fuhrer was on trial. And I put that, and I'll say it, our beloved Fuhrer, because he is head and shoulders above any piece of scum that we have here in the United States in any form of government, be it city council, county commissioner, state senator, governor, United States Senate, United States Congress. He's head and shoulders above those scumbag Jewish bootlickers. I put Adolf Hitler is like a five-star Christian compared to any of these scum that are over us right now. But what I'm going to get back to, and I pray to God I didn't get too hot. I hope I didn't piss off the ADL. But anyway, SPLC. But anyway, getting back to when our Fuhrer was on trial before they sent him, I think, to the Lansdowne prison, he completely turned the table on those milk lappers, those lap dogs for the government, those judges. He accused them. He charged them. He pointed them out as being the traitors. They were the enemies of Germany. They were the enemies of the German people. They were the enemies of the Christian people. They were the enemies of the white, free people of the entire world. And they, by God, were the ones who were on trial. You know what? If I ever have to go on trial, so help me God. I hope God does not desert me. I hope my courage doesn't desert me, because I would turn the table on those sorry SOBs. The judge that put that man in prison, your brother in prison, there's a sorry scum. I have no end of a hatred I have for those people. I have no end for hatred of the police and the military in this country that will not stand up. I despise the masses that were always, people always tell me, oh, you have to spoon feed the masses. You have to spoon feed them. You have to recruit them. You got to be gentle with them. They're fragile. I say, to hell with the masses. To hell with these people. I'm going to get off this just for a second. I went to vote last Monday. I was the only SOB there without a mask. Every other of these little, these cattle, these sheep, I have no end of contempt for them. They just bow down. They'll do anything the stinking government tells them to do. They don't give a damn. But you could put them in a cave for the rest of their life as long as they keep them safe. I hate it. The next person that tells me to be safe, I'm going to just bust them in the face. I hate that word. No, don't be safe. Be brave. Be free. Take risks. Give me liberty. Now I'm going to shut the hell up. I'm going to go over to I almost forgot what Miss Monica was talking about, but going over to you, Jean, what do you think about that? Well, maybe you want to comment on that. I was thinking about Hitler. He totally turned the tables on those stinking Jews at his trial. But go ahead, Jean. How would you like to comment on anything Miss Monica said?
Well, Eddie, now, really, you need to be safe. We all need to be safe. And
yes,
you need to
do.
Quit beating around the bush so much and tell our listeners out there how you actually feel. I mean, we have enough wishy-washy politicians. You don't need to be one of them right there. So,
yeah, I'm going to have to. I hope I didn't insult our Jewish friends out there and our red Chinese friends. I hope I didn't shoot. Oh, my God, I hope that. But anyway,
I need to apologize to Miss Schaefer. I'm not really up on my German history. And I'll admit, I've got it all wrong. I thought that when the Berlin Wall came down, or the walls came down, I believe it was 1989,
yes,
I thought
it was.
That was the end of communism in Germany. And Germany was reunited without the communist regime in the East. But now it looks like the communist won, and they've taken over.
Yeah. Well, you can be forgiven for that lapse, because that's what they have led us to believe, that, oh, yeah, communism is over.
Miss Monica, we've got to go to a quick break.
Yeah.
We have to hear the music coming in. Miss Monica and my dear brother Gene, we got to go to a quick break. Be right back, people. Hang on your seats.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
It's a choice between a Trump super boom and a Biden lockdown. Did you hear him the other night? It's going to be a cold, dark winter. Very inspiring guy. This is very inspiring. Whoa. I even said, whoa. Whoa. Now we got to have spirit, our country.
President Trump with three campaign rallies on Saturday. The president starting his day in North Carolina. The president also spending time in Ohio and ending his night with a rally in the Milwaukee suburb of Waukesha. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden in the battleground state of Pennsylvania.
I'm not from Bucks County, but I'm from Pennsylvania. It's my home state, and it's great to be back. As my coach at Delaware says, it's go time. It's game day. We have 10 days left.
Biden speaking there at a drive-in campaign event. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, some good news during a challenging time for everybody, and this could really help. You may know hundreds of thousands of people have already made the switch to MediShare, which is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And with so many people looking at how they pay for healthcare right now, seeing premiums going up or the cost of COBRA plans, MediShare has a special offer, and a lot of people are taking advantage of it. Simply apply by October 30th, and they will waive your new member fee. That's $170 savings. And, of course, that's just a start. The typical family saves $500 a month after making the switch. MediShare is a Christian community that has shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it's worked beautifully for decades. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania ruled that mail ballots cannot be discarded based on a perceived mismatch between the signature on the voter's application and the signature on the ballot envelope. The decision comes days after the U.S. Supreme Court refused to overrule the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's decision. Southwest Airlines is coming under fire for unblocking the middle seats on flights starting November 30th.
Southwest shared the news on Twitter Thursday. They cited a growing body of data and research from Harvard as well as the Department of Defense. The backlash continues to grow as many are not as much concerned with COVID, but with flu season approaching. Even without baggage fees, Southwest turns a profit annually, leaving some to question if this is a financial decision. American Airlines has been selling its middle seat since late June and filling flights to capacity after losing $70 million a day at the start of COVID. For USA Radio News, I'm Val Dior.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
A Venus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we do this show for y'all. We do it for my family. We do it for Gene's family, this Monica's family. We do it for all of our precious friends that listen to this show and all of our blood family. And I love y'all. I really do. Believe it or not, I'm a little bit passionate, but Lord knows I love people, our people. But, you know, I'd just like to make a quick comment before we go back to Miss Monica and Gene. You know, these judges that we were talking about earlier, for the life of me, dear Lord, I cannot understand how these, especially in Germany of all countries, the one nation in the world that stood up, they're the only nation that I know of that's ever defeated the Luciferian, Orwellian, Jewish Zionist banking establishment. The world, it's the Antichrist banking system. They were the only ones that ever built, that ever defeated the Rothschilds. And they did it for a while the war was going on. They kicked them out of there. And I've often thought, Miss Monica, since you're of German descent, I think one reason that the Jews, international Jewry, has always hated Germany so bad is because that's the home nation of Martin Luther, the one who came out, the former Catholic priest who exposed the Jews for the sons of the devil that they really are. He exposed them. And he was hot about it. He didn't hold anything back. But I think that's why, one of the reasons they hate him so bad, besides the Fuhrer kicking those bloodsuckers out of Germany for a short period of time, I was going to make a quick comment about Jonas Clark, the minister who gave hung up his preacher suit. He joined about 70 other colonists at what they call the Lexington Green, which really was the front yard of the church that he had in Lexington, Lexington, Massachusetts. But I won't say anything about that, but we need some preachers like that. But anyway, back to, I forgot where he was, Gene. I got kind of wound up. Back to you, Gene, fella. Would you have anything to comment about what Miss Monica was talking about?
Oh, yes, absolutely. First of all, let me say it's an honor to be on the program with her. I have a great admiration for her, for Sylvia Stultz. These women that have stood up to the lies and the absurdity of throwing people in jail and threatening to throw them in jail for simply telling the truth. Now, to me, that is proof positive and beyond any shadow of a doubt that the whole hoax is a hoax. If you have to arrest somebody for telling the truth, you know that the propaganda you're putting out has to be a lie if you have to threaten somebody with jail time for speaking the truth. And so I am a great admirer of Monica Schaefer and Sylvia Stultz and a lot of these other people that have stood up to that. And I'll tell you right now, I think these ladies have a lot more testosterone than some of our male politicians in this country right there.
Got that right.
A lot more courage and a lot more, shall we say, manly backbone or whatever, however you want to say that, than some of our cowardly politicians. So,
I don't want to interrupt, but I just wanted to say that we have come in on the coattails of some really big greats who did the legwork at a time when they didn't have the benefit of the internet, when they didn't have all that, and they really were alone, I think, in their battle. And people like Ernst Zundel, people like Robert Forisson, rest in peace, they're both gone. And there are others of that generation, they have left us in recent years. Frederick Tobin, he was also a great truth teller, and he went to jail in three different countries for that. And there are many others. But, you know, people like Robert Forisson, I don't know if very many people in this part of the world have ever heard of him, a French professor who worked tirelessly and a real, you know, attention to detail kind of guy who researched on many levels all about Auschwitz, you know, the architectural designs, the chemical aspects of it, the physical aspects, the documentary evidence, all these different things that he studied and at great length. So we're riding their work, you know, we're sort of riding their coattails, I would say. And there are many men who have spent time in jail, some for a long time. Horst Mahler is somebody who is coming out in just a few days, I think in 3 days. He has spent 10 years and 2 months in jail for speaking these truths. And something else, Gene, that I would like to say, that even if a person was to doubt that what we're talking about is the truth, like you could just say, even let's just say that we were lying, that we were making it all up. Now, we're talking about history. When they have to make laws to put, you know, make history be in a law, like black and white in a law, but there's something really wrong with that. And I think that's exactly what you were getting at. But even just putting it in a more a gentle way to people who haven't yet looked into it. And I would say that as soon as you look into it, you will know that the official version of the history of World War II is all false. But you can even just say, well, we could be full of, you know, full of it. We could just be spouting forth just a bunch of made-up fairy tale lies, but to put people in jail for that, why don't they just present us with the evidence to correct us if we were so wrong? But that is where it stops. They don't have the evidence, so what do? They make the evidence illegal. So that's really where it's at. They make the evidence illegal. They did it right at the Nuremberg trials in 1945-46, they made articles 19 and 21 of the Nuremberg trials stated, I'll just paraphrase them, that, you know, it's something that is self-evident does not require evidence. Something that is common knowledge you do not have to prove it. And, you know, these 6 million gassings, they took place. The Germans were killing all these Jews in these so-called death camps. That is common knowledge, so you do not need to prove it with evidence. That's where it started. And it's gone like that ever since.
But who says what is common knowledge? That's the
exactly.
trick right there. And we and this ought to be so simple for somebody in the South to see this, because the powers that be in this country have lied about the South and lied about our war for Southern independence for 160 years. And somebody in the South ought to be able to look at this and say, you know, that's the same lies they've been telling about us since 1861 when they invaded our country. And now it's gotten to the point that not only can you not speak the truth about the South, you're called every kind of name, racist, white supremacist, yada, 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 and on, they even tear down our history, tear down the monuments, rewrite the school books, criminalize anybody that goes out and supports the South. So in a way, it's not as bad as what you've gone through, but I totally understand the political powers that want to stifle history. They don't want to debate it, because you and I would debate our different issues that we have about the South and about Germany from the same standpoint. Here are the facts. Here's what was said in 1861. Here's what happened in 1944, 45, and so forth. Here are the facts. No, we don't want to hear the facts. We don't want to hear
yes.
the facts. You can't use that.
That's right. The Jewish playbook is this, that you not only destroy us, or, you know, they are destroying their enemy, which is us. They then erase our very history, and that is being rolled out right before our eyes. And you say that's not as bad. No, that is bad. Like, that's what they're doing. They're erasing the history, and we are witnessing that with the tearing down of all these monuments, changing the textbooks, and now they're, you know, turning books into an obsolete item and doing everything online more and more. And so then it's even easier for them to change history just at the push of a button. So, yeah, I always say to people, physical books are a good thing to have, you know. Get your hands on the physical books.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I heard an excellent historian one time, within the last year, said if you want to find out what really happened in a war or a situation, especially he was referring to a war, read the account from the losing side. Said the winning side will always thump their chest and talk about what great patriots they were, and they were saving the world from democracy or from totalitarianism or whatever, and on and on and on with the same old garbage. But if you really want to get the truth of what happened, read the losing side version of history
yes.
in any war. And that's going to come a whole lot closer to the truth than the winning side, because the winning side may be the dirty, rotten scoundrels, but they're going
yeah.
the winners write the history, and they're going to inflate themselves as the great saviors of the world, or saviors of the Union, or whatever it is that they're talking about, and they will always, make themselves out as the heroes, and the opponents were just horrible, terrible people.
Gene, yeah. we have to go to a quick break. When we come back to the break, Gene, if you will, tell the people how they can get a hold of the book that I bought, the book that you're selling in behalf of the Nathan Bedford Forrest Center. People will be right back.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Well, Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going into, I can't believe it's the last segment already, but this will be our last segment for the show. But before we went to the break, I was thinking this book I got from Gene back in the summer. This is called I'll Take My Stand. It looks like the 75th anniversary. It's by 12 Southerners. It talks about the South in the agrarian tradition. Gene, would you like to tell people just a little bit about this book and how they can get it and what the proceeds go to? And then we'll go to another topic I want to transition into. Go ahead, Gene.
Yes, sir. That was written and published in 1930. And it was 12 Southern authors at one time, not all at the same time, but if you can believe this, at one time they were professors at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, and that's back when Vanderbilt was a conservative school. And the theme, and they all wrote on a different aspect of it, but the general theme was that Southerners were selling their souls for industrialization. They were giving up life as an agricultural life and just rushing full speed ahead to embrace industrialism and modernism and things like that. And their point was, when you give up your life on the land and your ties to the land and the soil and just throw everything you have into being modernized and industry and all of that, you're losing a lot of your heritage and a lot of your life, your ties to your family. And the cities have no family ties at all. They're just mobs of people packed together to produce. And one of the interesting things was, and I reread this, the old copy that I had back during the winter, they were saying that these people packed into these cities, if there are large epidemics that break out, they're going to be a lot worse because people are packed in so close together. So in 1930, they were predicting the COVID virus epidemic 90 years before it happened, and the worst spots in the country now are these cities where it spreads so quickly, if it indeed is. But I thought that was an interesting comparison that they had there. And we're selling these books at the Forest Home in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. And we've had quite a few people who have come by there as visitors and bought those. But it was people like Donald Davison, Andrew Nelson Lytle, and John Crow Ransom, Frank Owsley, some really excellent writers taking different subjects and giving their take on what was happening to the South in the late 1920s, early 1930s. And then the copy we have is a 75th anniversary edition that's been reprinted to that.
And people, it's very important. One of the other points I'd like to make, it's very important, like Gene and Monica said, I think Miss Monica said, they're getting rid of books every day. They really are. And they're putting this fake knowledge on the internet. The only way you can be sure of getting the real true story from the horse's mouth, you have to buy older books that have not been changed. You can't go to get these books on the internet because they will lie to you in a heartbeat. But if anybody would like to have one of these, it's a great book. I've got one myself. Wouldn't trade it for nothing. If you would like to get a hold of it, if you will send me an email to eddie@bloodriverradio.com. It's easy to find. Just go into Blood River Radio. You pull up my email. I will make sure. I'll get the information to Gene, and he will send you out a book. And maybe for a little extra, you can. He will even autograph it because it goes to a great cause, people. It goes to help our history from being flushed down the memory hole. The Forest Home that Gene has worked unending, probably thousands of hours, totally free. He's doing that. This is a great piece of our people's history that needs to be preserved. So once again, send me an email, Eddie at BloodRiverRadio.com, and Gene will make sure you get one of these books, and I'll give you all the details. Miss Monica, I'll go back to you right quick. Like, I don't know if we have time, but I was just going to make, before you, would you like to make any more comments about what we've been talking about? Because I wanted to bring something on the table for a second. But if you'd like to respond to Gene anyway before I come up with this next topic, because we're winding on down. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic about these books, Gene. You know, the older books, that's where you are going to find, you know, perspective from those times. And earlier, before the break, you were talking about the getting the history from the loser's side. You know, when I was young, in school, actually, and I, if my memory serves me correctly, the teacher that said this phrase, history, the victors write the history books, the victors write the history books, he said this over and over to us, and it came back to me recently that the teacher that said that, he told us that when he was telling us about the lampshades and the soap and the shrunken heads that the so-called Nazis and evil Hitler did with the Jews' bodies, skin, heads, and fat, you know, that they made lampshades, soap, and shrunken heads from the Jews that they gassed. And while we were being told these horrors, he interjected several times during those lessons. He said, you know, the victors write the history books. And at that time, I think it was when I was in junior high school, so maybe I was 13 years old or something like that, I didn't really understand what that meant, because at that time I naively believed that, well, it doesn't really matter who writes the history books. Don't they just write the facts down? Like, I somehow had this notion that if it's in black and white in a book, then it's the facts. They're just going to write the facts down. What difference does it make? Well, it's many, many years later that I figured out that when they say the victors write the history books, it's not just about choosing the font with which they write those books. And that is such an important lesson to take away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, that is. And I even took a class. I taught for a while and had to have my teaching certificate renewed every 10 years. And I went back to get it renewed. And the history classes, I was teaching history, and the history class that I took at a university here in Nashville, they told us right out, you cannot use books that were published before 1964. You couldn't use that as a reference, because it had to be after the civil rights era and political correctness had taken over the books. And they said you couldn't use a book for a reference that was published before 1964. So that was a red flag right there. And I was saying, you know, well, obviously the history's being doctored today. Even I could see that. And if you can't go back and get these books that have firsthand accounts from people that were actually there and told you what was going on, then you knew there was something, a dead rat in there somewhere. You just couldn't figure out where the smell was coming from, but there's a dead rat there somewhere.
That's right.
If there ever was an admission of we're feeding you lies, I mean, they could not be any plainer than that, Gene. But go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yeah, I was going to say, if the book is about history that occurred before that year of 1964, then why would a later book be more accurate than the earlier book? It would be different if they're talking about some kind of a technological development that got invented after 1964, you know, that hadn't been invented yet. But yeah, it's absurd. It's an admission. It's an admission that they're now doctoring it. They're correcting it in quotation marks. I'm saying, you know, they're giving us their acceptable line. They're bringing in their politically correct story, which is a doctored version.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so that's why in my book collection at home, that's what I try to get, are books that were written before that time period, because I know they're going to be a lot more accurate. Or they're written by people that take the side of the losing side, like David Irvin and a lot of his books. And I know he was thrown in jail for publishing the truth. And
that's
so
right.
I've read his books, and you know, and it was a shocker to me because I thought, well, you know, the history that we got about World War II was probably accurate, and then I find out, no, that's not what the Germans said. That's what we said the Germans said, but when you look at the actual facts, that doesn't even come close to what we have in our history books or the lies and the propaganda that we've been told about the wonderful Franklin Roosevelt and the wonderful Churchill and all this hogwash that's gone on and on and on for years and years. And then you look back at what actually the Germans actually were saying and Hitler was actually saying, and it's a totally different story. And now you know who the villains were. The villains weren't in Germany. They were in London and Washington, D.C., that were trying to push this war and get this war started, using every dishonest trick and lie that they could to get this war started. So,
I would love to put in a plug, though. What we're talking about is these older books being really important to have, but I'd like to put in a plug for some of the newer books that are coming out by people who, of course, they're going to be vilified in the mainstream press, but then you know they're onto something. For example, a really good book that I read recently is called The Myths of German Villainy by Benton Bradbury, the late Benton Bradbury. He died, I think, about a year ago. Another one, Other Losses, by James Bach. He also died right around the same time that Benton Bradbury died, just over a year ago, I believe. So these are newer books. And then Garamar Rudolph, who is a
Miss Mark,
refugee.
What was that first book you mentioned?
We got
Other Losses. What was that other book?
The Myth of German Villainy. The Myth of German Villainy. Okay. Excellent, excellent book. And, and I was just talking about Garamar Rudolph, who did spend time in jail in Germany. He's now living in the United States. And you can find him on a website called CODO, C-O-D-O-H, which is the Committee for Open Debate on the Holocaust. And he has put together, like edited together, this Holocaust Handbook series. So there's a whole bunch of these books, so authored by others, but some of them authored by him or co-authored.
Ms. Monica,
so I would,
Before we run, we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
Mention that.
Okay.
Explain that CODO one more time. That seems that's very important. Tell the people that what that CODO is. The committee.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So if you go to CODOH.com, that stands for Committee for Open Debate on the Holocaust. Yes, that's a very good resource. I'm so glad we're talking about that. So go there and you can find books in there, you know, for sale there, and lots of good resources and articles and videos and whatnot. Yeah.
Let me give you one more plug and another source, the Barnes Review. It's a magazine that's published out of Maryland. But they have pages and pages of books that you can order directly from them. Amazon won't sell them, but you can order directly from the Barnes Review. And that's another good view of history. It's their subtitle. It's the Barnes Review and the subtitle, A Politically Incorrect Version of History. And so
Excellent.
That's a good source to go to right there to get the books in hand, something you can actually hold in your hand and read.
Excellent. I'm so glad you brought that up, the Barnes Review. Yes. So there are books out there, and there are books being written now. Actually, quite a lot of really good books are being written now, but again, they're not going to be sold on Amazon.
No.
Well, people were about out of time, but I'll just make this last comment. It sounded like those death camps in Germany were kind of like this COVID-1984 virus. They've never been identified or singled out or... But we got to believe it anyway. Thank you so much, Miss Monica, coming on. Thank you, Gene. Y'all are such marvelous people, and you pulled my bacon out of the fire tonight because I was having all kinds of difficulties. But you know what? Even on the perfect day, you are always the perfect host. I love you people so much, both you people. Thank y'all for coming on with helping me out tonight and carrying the show. Thank you, Miss Bethany, for running the board tonight through all these difficulties. And thank you, Blood River Radio family. God, I know I love y'all. And pray for Blood River. Pray for all of our guests and all of our friends. And with God willing, we'll see you on Halloween night. It'll be Saturday, October 31st. Good night, everybody. Good night, Bethany. Good night, y'all.